Rolling. What's happening? Andy and Zach here, coming at you from East Nashville Brewworks.
Beerworks.
Oh.
Oh. Watch out. Watch it. You're going to biff that sponsorship, bro.
So close. Yeah, if you can't tell by the 90s tunes and the wind in the trees, we're back at the works.
It's a little quiet here today, actually.
It is.
I'm not complaining. I'm just observing.
We're here a little early.
That's true.
A little earlier than usual.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure they're going to have a Monday night game on. I was here yesterday, by the way.
Oh, were you now?
Yeah. Titans game was on.
That's right.
And I can't watch it at home because I don't have CBS or Fire or whatever. So I came over here.
Nice.
Yeah.
We beat the... We lost to the Bills.
Yeah.
I forget who we played.
We beat the LA Raiders.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. I should have told you. So I was here watching the game, and when the game was over, Megan's been craving Sans pumpkin beer.
Now,
she can't drink a lot, but she can have a little alcohol.
Okay.
I left here, and I drove all the way over to Zahn's and hung out with Ken and Beer Slayer.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little blast from the past.
A little blast from the past. Hung out with Ken and Beer Slayer and had a beer or two. There's a guy there that was driving a Toyota that was built. So we got to chat and had a couple beers, got a growler of Oktoberfest because he doesn't have the pumpkin beer yet this coming weekend. Actually, by the time this podcast publishes, Sans Pumpkin Ale should be on tap or close to being tapped. So anyway, went over there, got some Oktoberfest, then went home and had a couple more beers on the patio with Megan because the weather's been gorgeous. So, yeah.
Longtime listeners will recognize Zahn's as the brewery that we broadcasted from for a long time.
A lot of episodes, like...
Many, many episodes.
Like 30, maybe?
Yeah, no doubt.
Maybe not that many, but like a lot.
Well, overall, from the times that we were there unofficially to the times that we were there as an official media partner, it was probably 30.
Yeah, because we were there, I remember it was cold out, and it was dark. It was earlier this year, and then it was hot.
We definitely started there around this time last year.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then it got cold, and then we worked through until it got to be a little bit, I think it was warmer out.
Yeah. So we were inside for a long time,
yeah.
Obviously. So all that to say.
Anyway, yeah.
Y'all might recognize Zahn's. You might also remember that Zahn's Pumpkin Ale was Andy's official beer of choice at his wedding.
It was. I tell Ken that every time I see him. I don't think he remembers. But I tell him that.
I'm sure he always gets a kick out of it.
Yeah. He's a really nice guy. And they were, you know, they weren't super busy when I was there, but they had a few patrons in there, so it was good.
Great.
Yeah, and he said the business had been getting busier, steadily growing, so good.
Great.
For him.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll be back in Zahn's one of these days.
For sure.
So.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cool. Well, one of the reasons why we're starting early today is because my usual afternoon appointment, Mr. Bird, is in Berlin doing the Berlin Marathon.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Well, I guess he did it a couple days ago, so I'm curious to know how he did. I haven't heard from him. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll have an update maybe from him next week. But
nice.
Yeah, a guy who did a bunch of marathons, you know, back 10, 15, 20 years ago, got out of it as a lot of runners do, from knee and hip and back issues, and then you start strength training regularly, and before you know it, you're out running again. So he did a couple 10Ks, did a couple half marathons, and I think this is his second full marathon since we've been training for about the last, probably coming up on 3 years.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I'm curious to see how he did, especially out in Berlin. They say that that's a relatively flat course, so you can go fast.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't follow endurance sports, so.
Nor do I. I actually train a few guys who are big cyclists. And so when Tour de France was going on, they had that on TV for those couple weeks.
I feel like you have to have a bougie way of saying it, Tour de France.
That's probably how I should say it.
With your Grey Poupon.
Yeah.
Tour de France.
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 Yeah. Well, man, each of us are coming off of some wild weekends.
That's right.
So do tell. As I was walking into the bar, I saw your, correct me if I get this wrong, this 1985 Toyota 4Runner.
Uh-huh.
That's the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah, that's it.
And she was looking dirty, but happy, if a car can look happy.
I mean, she's filthy.
Filthy is the word I was looking for.
Yeah, filthy. To be honest, I think I like her better looking dirty than, because the paint on it's not great. Like the paint is kind of like faded and like it's a little bit rusty here and there. So like it covered in mud, I think it looks better.
Mud looks better than bad paint.
That's yeah. So it's covered in mud. I acquired the 1985 4Runner during COVID. I already own a 2000 4Runner. That's kind of how I got into the sort of off-roading, camping, kind of whatever community or whatever was the first one. And then bought the 1985 a couple years ago and have since built it up. And then this weekend I had an opportunity. There's an off-road park in East Tennessee called Wind Rock that I had heard about and people talk about, but I've never been. And also, I don't have that much experience like off-roading, like doing a lot of off-roading stuff. And it's also like, it is a dangerous hobby. Like you can get stuck, you can break something. Like you can be, like our like no had no phone service on those trails. Like we were using radios to talk. So if you go up there without any experience and any gear, you might be sleeping on a dirt road overnight waiting for somebody to come rescue you. So I don't take that lightly, especially with a baby on the way. I'm not about to be like launching a vehicle over obstacles without any experience or equipment to save me. So anyway, I'm in a couple Facebook groups and there's a guy who was going up this weekend. He was looking for somebody to come up with. And I was like, you know what? If you don't mind a very green, what's the phrase? Green under the...
Wet behind the ears.
Wet behind the ears. Thank you.
Greenhorn and wet behind the ears.
Correct. I'm that.
Okay.
I was like, if you don't mind that, I'll come up. I just want to learn and whatever. And so he and I were chatting a little bit. He called me on Friday and he was like, well, you know, how much experience do you have off-roading? And I was like, zero. Like, I mean, I've done like gravel roads and stuff, but like nothing serious. And so his name was Nate. Super cool guy, super fun. And thank you, Corinne. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
And so he was super cool. He was like, you know what? I'm going to take you out. He's very experienced. He goes up there probably 5, 6, 7 times a year, has all the recovery gear. Hold on. That's us, not you, if you're listening in the car right now. All right. Has all the recovery gear. So, like, I felt like I was in good hands. I had a good guide, someone who's done the trails, experienced, all that. So he took me out, and, man, we had a blast. The red truck, the 1985, crawled over anything we threw at it. And then I found out later that one of the trails we were on, he was actually a little bit nervous about. An experienced off-roader was a little bit nervous. He didn't tell me. He was a little bit nervous, but I followed right along and Red Truck did great. I got stuck one time and all we had to do was just kind of wedge some rocks under a tire just to like get some leverage and get up over an obstacle. And we were back at it. So Red Truck got me up there, got me around on the trails, camped overnight, got me home, and I didn't break a thing.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's also cool that you met a random person off the internet and you had a wild weekend together.
Yeah. I tell everybody that I'm hanging out with strangers from the internet. Anytime I go off-roading, it's always with strangers from the internet. So I meet these people, and then I trust them with my life.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's funny. Well, I'll spare everybody the cheesy jokes about meeting people on the internet for wild adventures.
I mean, everybody's thinking them.
So you went out with your guy, Nate, over the weekend.
Yep.
I went out with my guy, Nate, over the weekend. Mr. Nate Cook is an old friend of mine from Appalachian State. Him and our buddy, Peter, were student body president and vice president their senior year.
Wow.
So they're very plugged into the school, student government, Greek life, all that good stuff. So Nate is getting married in March. So this was his bachelor party weekends. So it was about nine of us, I think. Eight or nine of us who went out to Boone, North Carolina to hang out. We went to a football game. I actually got to meet and chat with the old chancellor, Chancellor Peacock, who was the chancellor at ASU when I was a student there, who was a really, really cool guy. Spoke with him. Also saw my old RA, my freshman year resident assistant. Saw him out at a bar, which was funny, but not a huge surprise because I think he's lived in Boone off and on ever since college. And he's a big cyclist himself. He was, I think, captain of the ASU cycling team back in the day. And to this day, I think his career still basically just revolves around cycling in some form or fashion. I haven't really kept up with him, but yeah, so it was fun running into those guys, a little blast from the past. Stayed at a really nice cabin up at the top of Apsky Mountain, which is where I put in at least a few hours learning how to ski when I was a student up there. We actually used to have a PE class, which was skiing. It was a ski class for PE credits.
Really?
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, so we just had a wild time, great time at the football game. We lost, unfortunately, but it was a fun game to watch. Yeah, I just had a wild time with a bunch of my bros.
That's great.
Yeah. And spent most of the day yesterday driving back.
How long of a drive is that?
Well.
And you didn't stop at Bucky's?
No, I did not.
Next time. I bet you they have a charging station. They have everything else. I bet you they do.
I'll have to check it out.
It was madness.
I can imagine. Just judging based on the billboards.
Yeah.
I imagine it was a wild
spot. It was just madness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was driving back. So Tennessee beat Florida at home this weekend. So Tennessee's 4-0 right now. Knock on wood, we get a bye coming up, and then we play LSU at LSU. Early game, though, 11 a.m.
Wow.
Which is, anyway, doesn't matter, but I think 11 a.m. I don't know. I'll have to look. But Tennessee's 4-0 after beating Florida barely at home. I was refreshing my ESPN. When we got back to the campground, I was refreshing my ESPN app like every 30 seconds to see if the score changed, and we ended up winning. So, nice. Anyway. It's always good to beat Florida. And then when I was driving back, I was in all that traffic from Knoxville. And that 85 doesn't go fast. Like it likes like the 60, 65 mile an hour range.
Yeah.
So everybody was just flying by me the whole time. It was just, in that traffic was just madness. It was just a ton of traffic coming out of Knoxville. And luckily, no wrecks or anything on the way home. Mm-hmm. So it was smooth sailing, but and then a buddy of mine, actually, he tried calling me when I was driving, and then I don't like to have the windows down. I wasn't about to answer the phone, so anyway, I didn't answer it. He drove right by me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so when I called That's him funny. Back, he was like, dude, I was driving next to you. I was like, for a half second, but you were probably flying.
Yeah.
So, well, that's cool. It sounds like we both had good weekends.
Yeah. Great time.
Yeah. I'm trying to get out of town to go camping this coming weekend. Okay. And then I'm going to shut it all down.
Yeah. We're getting down to crunch time.
Officially on baby watch in like a week.
Wow. Exciting.
We'll see. Megan's feeling better. She's doing good.
Good.
Yeah. You know, not awesome because she's so big. She's so big. It's kind of incredible.
You got a big baby.
I feel like every time I like leave in the morning, I come home and I'm like, you're bigger.
Yeah, man.
It's just, yes. Yeah. So anyway. But she's doing well. She's eating well and sleeping well, as well as you can, being 8 months pregnant, so whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, your little bun in the oven is cooking right along.
Yeah. So, we'll see. Boy or girl, I don't know. Find out.
Yeah. Tune in.
Tune in.
Tune in and find out.
Let's see. What else? I'm trying to think if there's anything new going on. Started a couple new clients today. I think they're going to be stellar. I'm very pumped about it, with the exception of, so we met at 8 a.m. today, which is fine. Perfect. Great time.
Sure.
Wednesday, because of my schedule and because like they have work, meeting at 5 a.m.
All right.
So that'll be my earliest start. My shortest day, but earliest start. So we'll see. Gonna give it a month and see what happens.
Because otherwise you have a 5:30 start, right?
My earliest start is 5:30 Monday, Tuesday, Thursday right now.
Okay.
And so now it'll be 5:30 Monday, Tuesday, 5 a.m. Wednesday, 5:30 Thursday, 6 a.m. Friday. 6 a.m. Friday is gonna be like, man, I'm sleeping in over here. What's going on?
Yeah. I think the earliest, I think I had one client for a brief period of time who did 5. It was not, I hesitate to even call this person a client. I think it was a couple of sessions.
Right. 5 a.m. is hard.
That was wild.
It is hard.
That was wild.
But I told these ladies, they're two sisters, told these ladies, I was like, you know what? Like one of them was like, I'm really anxious, I'm nervous about coming in at 5. I was like, you and me both. But I'll be here, I'll get the music going, I'll make some coffee. I've got Red Bull, got water. Like, you just show up and I got you.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. They showed up for the first time today as a pair and it was awesome. They're going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
Good.
So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Aside from that, you know, just getting the house and the nursery ready for this baby.
Baby watch.
Baby watch
2022.
Yeah.
All right, man. Exercise.
About, I was gonna say. We should really talk about exercise now.
Well, we had a lot. We had a lot to yip-yap
unpack
about
from the weekend.
Yeah. Before I forget, what year were you born in?
88.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, birthday is 7/11.
7/11/88.
Yeah, mine's 3/13/88.
It's a good year. You're the dragon.
Okay. Okay. You could tell me Year of the Fish and I'd be like, oh yeah, totally. I don't know, I don't follow any of that stuff.
I'm very proud to be Year of the Dragon baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's 2022? What's year of the what's that?
That's something that you need to find out.
Okay.
I was about to say, I don't care. I'm not having a baby, but yeah, I forgot that one of us is.
2022, year of the probably Year of the Fish.
We'll see. Yeah, 88 was a good year. Also, this being the 88th episode, just trying to make that connection.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
It's also how fast the DeLorean had to go.
That's right, 88. what did Doc Brown say? If my calculations are correct, when this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're going to see some serious shit.
Oh, I love that movie.
Doc Brown.
I love that. You know, he's still alive.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I mean, I know that you're probably going to have a baby, a new baby, but if you wanted to do like a Halloween party together, I think it would be really fun to go as Doc Brown and Michael J. Fox.
That would be fun. Who's going to be Doc Brown? You?
I'll be Michael J. Fox.
Okay.
I think I could pull off a good Michael J. Fox. I think you could pull off a good Doc Brown.
Great Scott.
Yeah. we'll start practicing.
All right.
Okay.
All right. We should talk about fitness.
Training the abs, training the core. What would you consider some of your like top most valuable core abdominal exercises?
I'm gonna say a handful of exercises, but I'm not gonna necessarily give any one of them like top dog, like number one spot.
Sure.
And also like we can talk about sort of my like evolution of like training abs.
I'm curious on your evolution because you have quite the six pack.
I mean, under that fluff, but anyway, well, all right.
I've seen it.
All right.
Everyone on the internet has seen it.
Oh, that's true. I do have in that Instagram.
You have photographic evidence.
If you go to my Instagram and you go to fitness, you can find my abs. Okay.
Of some anyway, cuts.
Hashtag fitness in my story highlights or whatever. All right. Anyway, in no particular order, hanging leg raise, ab wheel, zombie sit-up. And then probably after that, as far as like crunch variations, if you don't consider a zombie sit-up a crunch, which I do, but like single leg V-ups and V-ups.
Okay.
And then beyond that, you know, I do like, I like them and a lot of my clients like them. I don't have a cable, but I do have a band. So we'll do like banded rotations. So not a pull off press, but an actual like oblique rotation. A lot of my clients love that one, so we'll do that. Those are probably in my top five or so, however many I just rattled off. The ones, the like go-to ones. Evolution-wise, I went from like in college, I did a shitload of ab stuff. Like name the ab exercise and I probably did it. And then I got to a point, I'm curious about your evolution, I got to a point where I'm gonna use air quotes here, like abs were made in the kitchen. So like if I wasn't getting my diet right, my nutrition right, I didn't give a shit about training abs at all. I did like carries and maybe pull off presses and maybe like static like planks or whatever, but I didn't do any flexion based or rotation based ab stuff. I forfeited it for probably 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
And then I've come back around to the idea of doing flexion and rotation for two reasons. The first is your abs are built to do some of that stuff, so why not? And two, people like it. Like at the end of the day, I train folks who pay me to show up. They're not like student athletes. They aren't obligated to come work out with me. So if they like doing it, then I probably ought to give it to them.
Right.
And so I think it's good work. I think it's valuable work, and they like doing it, so now I add quite a bit of ab work. And usually, sure, depending on what we're doing, 2, 3, 4 ab exercises a workout.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just because people like doing it, it feels good, they think they're doing good work, so why not?
I think I know what a zombie sit-up is, but I'm not totally sure.
You take, you lay flat. I usually go kind of like with my legs kind of spread out a little bit.
Kind of a V.
Like kind of a V. And then you take a plate, like a 25-pound plate or a 45-pound plate, and you reach overhead, you tap the floor on the ground, like behind your head, and you sit up tall with it, like you're trying to touch the ceiling with the plate.
Got it.
And then you lay back down, tap the floor, sit up tall.
Cool.
Like you're trying to touch the ceiling. So zombie sit-up. Single leg, double leg V-ups, ab wheel, hanging leg raise, and rotations are usually the top five or whatever. Okay. that we'll
so,
do.
So your zombie sit-up is like a pullover to straight leg sit-up.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I like that.
A lot of my clients like it, so.
Yeah. I think I've done a version of that like with like a couple kettlebells.
Yeah.
Although there's no pullover component, but yeah. Yeah, I like that. I would say overall, the pattern or the evolution of abdominal training that you spoke about is I would say pretty much the same. Same here. Same here. You start off doing abdominal destruction 5,000.
Right.
And then you stop doing abs completely, and all you do is
like anti everything.
Anti everything, because we have to, right?
Right.
We have to be zealots for something, then anti something, and then find a middle ground, right? Isn't that how it goes? So, yeah. I think that certainly hanging leg raise and the ab wheel are way up there. I think the dead bug and the dead bug variations are a great catch-all abdominal exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the sense that you're practicing breathing, bracing, and dynamically moving your limbs around. So I think the dead bug has a lot of great application for a lot of different folks.
I like the dead bug. I rarely use it now because no matter how many times I cue it up, like how to do it and do it well, people get impatient with it and they move too fast. Right? They kind of do like this number. And so they're like, I don't feel like I'm doing anything. And I'm like, yeah, because you're not. You're moving too, like I told you, like move slow, exhale fully, like really get a feel for it. And they're like, I don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm doing anything. And it's gotten to the point where it's so much of an issue, despite the number of times that I cue it up correctly. I stopped. I'm like, you know what? Stop. Just do this other ab. You know what? You're going to move too fast anyway. Do a single leg V up. Screw it. Just do this other thing. So I really do like dead bugs, but I deploy them rarely anymore.
I can see that. There might be a version that your folks might enjoy doing. Doing like a cross body isometric push.
Yep.
So like hand into opposite knee.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep that squeeze. So in that sense, as long as they're pushing their arm hard against their leg and their knee hard against their hand, they've got that kind of self tug of war.
Yeah.
Push, upper lower push going on. And then if they do flail their opposite arm and leg around, it may not be optimal, but at least they're getting that good bracing from the other pair being isometrically tensed against each other.
Mm. A version I do like too. That I like that one. And then, you ever done the band resisted, where you pull the band like that? So in that version, you have the band, your hands on a band, you know, kind of over chest, kind of like a bench press, right? Like holding over chest, and you just hold and you do the leg version of the dead bug. What I'll do with that one as a cue is I usually will wrap that band around my leg. So as they start to lose tension in their lats and their arms come back over their head, I'll sort of lock my knee out, sort of yanking on that band, like give them a little bit of feedback to pull that band and hold it there. So they're holding, they'll be doing their thing. As they start to lose it, I'll start, you know, moving the band, like yanking on them so that they feel a little bit of feedback. And they're like, oh, and they pull it back. So I haven't done that one either in a while. I'm glad we're having this conversation because now I'm like digging back into like old stuff I used to do all the time and haven't done in a year.
Yeah. Yeah, and back in the Globo Gym days, I would do that with cable resisted.
Ooh.
So that was fun.
Did you ever do, this is my Globo Gym days, did you ever do elbows and toes plank high row? That one was tough.
I think so.
You probably did. Or what about a side plank row?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's the irony of all that is it's probably great core work and it's dynamic and it's cool. It looks cool, feels cool. I'm probably actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm probably going to steal this idea. I'll use bands instead of cables, but it's probably not a great rowing or high pull exercise.
Yeah.
Definitely a core exercise and that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, which is fine. It's valuable. It's a dynamic, and it looks cool and feels hard. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Specifically talking about the hanging leg raise. Do you do it? Do you program it?
Yes and yes.
Excellent. Well, that's a lot better than my last question, last episode.
What was the question last time?
Ankle mobility.
Oh, yeah.
Do you do it? Do you program it?
No and no.
No.
Yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Hanging leg raise, yes. And I do it, yes. And I program it, yes.
Perfect.
It feels hard. It looks hard. People like it. It looks, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I do it all the time.
I think there's benefit to doing it for a lot of reasons. First, I think it's kind of maybe a hidden, I don't know if I would use the word mobility, maybe stretch. It's like also a hidden kind of stretch exercise, you know, because if you're hanging, already we're talking about decompressing the spine, grip strength, everything that we get from pull-ups and scapular work and hanging and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also flexing your hip flexors and your abs hard, getting into spinal flexion,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of training the opposite of what we normally do, which is being very tight with our posterior chain.
Mm-hmm.
With our hamstrings, glutes, back, spinal erectors being very tight. You know, we do deadlifts, we do squats, even, you know, obviously even like pushing and pulling. We're very rigid, we're very stiff through the back. But something like a hanging leg raise, you're stretching through the hamstrings,
mm-hmm.
you're stretching through the posterior chain, you're actually flexing your low back. In the context of really strengthening your abs. So I think it's a good kind of yin exercise to the yang of what we typically do in weightlifting.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I like doing hanging, like, my gym setup is such that, like, if you want to do pull-ups or hanging leg raises, you can't do anything else in the rack. Like,
right.
It occupies the rack. So you can't do squats, you can't do bench. But what's nice about hanging leg raises, or like ab wheel, for example, is one is a flexion-based, hanging leg raises is a flexion-based ab exercise. Ab wheel is an anti-flexion-based, anti-extension-based.
Mmm.
Anti-flexion? Now I'm confusing myself.
Well, I guess you could consider it an anti...
It's an anti-extension.
Overextension.
Right.
So, yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay. Point being...
Anti-extension.
Right. I like to pair those with, like, deadlifts, for example.
Mm.
Or, like, a chest-supported row, which is a little bit more extension-based. So I'll do, you know, hanging leg raise and ab wheel paired with deadlift or paired with a chest-supported row because both of those exercises are more extension-based. So it's a good alternative to the main lift that we're doing.
Yep.
So it works out well.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. And I think there's something about having the legs extended out, whether you're just holding them out straight, like when you're hanging from a bar,
mm-hmm.
like in a hollow body position, or you're actually dynamically moving them, like in a hanging leg raise. Nothing makes my lower abs sore than that particular pattern.
Mm.
You know, ab wheel, I think, comes pretty close.
Yeah.
Something else that I've been doing a lot recently is doing weighted, kind of like dynamic weighted knee raises. So, holding a dumbbell between the feet.
Yeah.
Kicking the legs out straight and forwards in that hollow body position. Like kind of pointing the toes forward into like a banana shape, making
right.
a banana shape like with your whole body. And then pulling the knees up into the chest But being a little fast with it, being a little dynamic with it.
Yeah.
To the point where you do have a little rock, a little sway.
Yep.
But you're sticking your legs back out straight to really tighten into that hollow body shape.
Right.
And pulling the knees up. So that's something that I've been incorporating into my training, because I can, you know, I'm lucky because being the size and shape that I am, pull-ups, hanging leg raises have come relatively easily, you know, and I can do toes to bar for sets of 8 to, if I'm really fresh, you know, 15.
Dang.
Very controlled, very slow. And so I oftentimes get kind of bored with hanging leg raises. So I've been doing them a lot more, like as part of supersets with sure. like my other like main lifts, just for kind of lower reps, like 5 to 8. But then also doing these weighted knee raises, which yes, is training the hip flexors dynamically, maybe more than the abs dynamically, sure. But I think the isometric brace that you get by holding the legs out at that leverage at the bottom with weight has a really powerful training effect.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That hollow body hold reminds me of a hollow body rock, which is another one I had forgotten about. I've been using it. I call it banana hammock. That's what we call it at my gym, is banana hammock.
Of course you do.
I'd forgotten about it until we were using it like a lot, and then I forgot about it, and so I haven't used it in a while. So I'll have to bring that back.
Yeah.
This is good. This is like sparking
some
stuff.
We're getting some ideas.
Yeah, unearthing some stuff, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, hollow body rock is tough.
It is tough. To do it right, especially, yeah. Part of the reason I call it banana hammock is because I was trying to describe it to a client, and I was like, she was too like vase-like.
Yeah, a little too V.
A little too V-like, and I was like, I need you to be more like a bowl, or like maybe even more like a plate, or like a banana. And then rock. And I was like banana hammock. That's why we call it that. So, banana hammock.
That's pretty good.
So, I like that one.
Coaching the hollow body is tricky.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because
you know. Your fulcrum is really more the low back than it is the hips.
Right.
So you kind of have to simultaneously cue a flexed lower back and a more extended hips, which is very tricky.
It's hard. It's a hard exercise.
Yeah.
Even though I call it banana hammock, it's not. Don't sleep on banana hammock. It's a tough exercise.
I'm not. I'm stealing that one.
Yeah. So yeah, I like that one. I'm trying to think of like, I still do a lot of carries, like one arm carries, front rack carries. But truthfully, like as much as I like those and I think they're valuable, most of our clients, I think, gravitate towards like the flexion based stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why I'll do, you know, I'll try to mix and match a lot of flexion or extension or anti, whatever. More abby, for lack of a better word, more abby stuff, because that's what they like. So that's what we do. And it's all good work. I'm not saying it's not good work. It's good use of our time and it's good work. It's just, yeah.
You ever do weighted cable crunches? Or I guess banded resisted crunches?
I have. I always forget about them, and I probably could add them. The only reason I would not do this at my gym is a very pragmatic and obvious reason, which is the cable apparatus at my gym is quite literally just a pulley on the pull-up bar, and the weight hangs directly down.
So you might guillotine yourself.
Right. You might hit yourself in the skull with a kettlebell or a weight. So like that's not good. Now you could back up a little bit from it and give yourself a little more room, but what I'm finding is that tool, that setup, if you move with any sort of speed, I'm not saying like you have to be a snail, but if you move with like a little bit of tempo, the weight starts to swing like a pendulum.
Right.
And
right.
So I have to tell people when they do stuff with it to move deliberately. I don't say move slow, but move deliberately, because if you start moving a little too fast, it starts to swing.
Yep.
And it'll hit the rack, or it'll hit them, or it'll hit an ankle or whatever. And so, you know, for safety's sake, I'm like, stop, like just pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes.
So that's part of the reason we don't do it at my gym. But I do like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I went through a training block where I did cable-resisted crunches, and same kind of thing with the hollow body. It kind of takes a little kind of mental finagling,
right,
or some proprioceptive experimentation to actually like feel what it is that you're trying to do.
Right.
To get it just right.
Well, and even to have leverage, I feel like you're almost already in like a somewhat shortened position.
Right.
Like you can't get really full, like opened up, extended abs or whatever, and really full crunched unless you have a really good setup for it. I feel like you almost are already in a somewhat shortened position. Not to say that it doesn't make it a valuable exercise, because it is. It's just, you know, pros and cons or whatever.
Yeah. Then you have to make sure that you're just not doing a pullover. Or
right.
Just bicep curling behind your head or whatever.
Right, right.
Which is always a tricky thing with, obviously, whenever you're holding weights or holding handles on a machine or on a cable or on a band, for that matter. It's like whenever we're gripping something hard in our hands, our central nervous system is just kind of primed to move it with your biceps.
Right.
So you kind of have to be careful with your mind-muscle connection and your relative stability and mobility and what you're moving and what you're not to get a good training effect from an exercise like that.
Right.
But yeah, that jumped out to me off the top of my head as an ab exercise that I could probably stand to have a little bit more practice with. But I mean, at the same time, if I can just jump up and knock out 12 hanging leg raises, my motivation to do weighted crunches kind of
right
isn't there.
Well, and it's like anything else, like, you know, I know that like certain muscle groups probably respond better to higher volume and whatever. I don't put a lot of stock into ab training personally. I do with my clients because they like it. Personally, I can be okay with doing like three sets of hanging leg raises in an entire workout, if that, or, you know, maybe a zombie sit-up. But the reason is more obvious is usually I'm pressed for time. And the other is I'm not eating and certainly not drinking right to even show those abs. So I'm not saying that it's not a good use of our time, because having abs is cool. But like, I'm not doing the nutritional stuff on my end to like be able to see them. So I'm not going to put a ton of effort into it that takes away from all the other big stuff. And this again, is more pragmatic. What's going to burn more calories, a set of hanging leg raises or a set of 10 squats?
Mm.
So like, if I'm pressed for time, I'm going to maximize my efforts doing the stuff that's going to build the most muscle and burn the most calories. And hanging leg raises, as much as I love them as a trainee, they're like, honestly, they're part of my warm up. Like, as I'm ramping up my squat sets, I'm doing hanging leg raises.
Mm.
And then once I get to like good working weight on my squats, I close that out.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good exercise to do like while I'm trying to get loose, get moving or whatever. I'll try to work that in. But as soon as I hit a certain weight on my squats, I cut it out. I'm like, you know, let's just stay focused on the goal, which is big ass weight on the squat. Hanging leg raises is going to not interfere, but it's not going to help my recovery between heavy ass squats.
Right.
So don't do it. So I'll rip through it on my warm-ups, and that's it. And then I'm done. And again, I'm usually pressed for time, so I just don't have the luxury of an open-ended training session where I can throw in an ass-loaded ab exercises. And even if I did, I don't know if I would. I'm not doing all the nutritional stuff on my end, so I'll do a little bit. You know, and this is another, maybe a topic for another day, and we may have discussed this before, and I thought about it today when I was training at Gym 5. Like, what's enough?
What is enough?
Yeah, when it comes to ab training, what's enough? 3 sets, 6 sets, 10 sets? Same with my lower body training today. Now, mind you, I had to skip my lower body training session Friday, so my last lower body training was like Monday or Tuesday last week.
Oh boy.
So I got into it today. I did leg curls, barbell RDLs, and safety bar reverse lunges. Now, I had intended to do more, but my allergies have been killing me, and even those RDLs were like, I was like heavy breathing because my allergy, like, I've had this cough. So I was like, my recovery was a little bit slow. So like, even though I wanted to do like sled push and drag, I didn't. Even though I thought about doing leg extensions, I didn't. I got in and did what I wanted to do, and then I was like, you know what? I think that's enough. Because I know I want to hit legs again later this week. So like, learning how to push hard, because you don't change unless you challenge yourself. But also knowing where that line is, where like, it's enough. Ab training for me is like that. It's like, what's the line where this is enough for right now? Is 1,000 reps abs a good use of my time? Probably not. But probably in the order of 50 to 100 reps, maybe. That's probably good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, anything training-wise is like that. Like, at some point, you have to, like, there's a give and take or whatever, you know.
Right.
You have limited resources, time, whatever. Like, are you going to do 1,000 reps on abs? It's probably not a good use of your time, when squats would probably do better, right? Anyway.
Right. Well, with that, is Collective Soul Shine the best track of the 90s?
Don't know this one.
Well, this is the live version.
See, there's that cough. Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to have to fix that one later.
You are going to have to quiet that down. No, that's a good one. There was another song they played earlier that I was like, man, I love this song. The one with the
sounds like the Star Wars.
Yeah, they sampled that in the song. Yeah, they're playing some really good music right now. It's like late 90s, early 2000s music.
I have a special place in my heart for Collective Soul.
Do you?
We'll save that for the next episode.
I was going to say, why?
Leave it to Andy to crush my heart when I wear it on my sleeve.
I mean, it's a good song, but like, I have to know why.
We'll chat about it.
Okay.
With that, hope you got something for your dear Abbeys out of this episode.
Yeah.
88.
88. Can you believe it?
Taking it one day at a time.
Oh, we can talk about this more off air. I'm having a client. You're not a client, but I'm having a client baby shower on October 16th. So, if you're in town, that's all right. You're not a client, so technically you're not invited.
I'm not in town.
That's unfortunately. All right. Another time.
Yeah. I will see you then, or I will see you at another time.
We'll see you at another time.
And with that, we will see you, dear listener, at another time. This has been the A to Z No BS Show, episode 88. We'll see you next time.
Goodbye.